149th running of the Kentucky Derby set for Saturday. Feeling old, as I remember Cannonero II winning 52 years ago. But our guest, one of the most prominent national voices in the sport, first with TVG, now FanDuel TV since its inception in 1999. You can follow along on Twitter. The handle is at ToddTVG. Todd Schrupp joins us. Todd, great having you. Really appreciate the time. How's life been treating you and yours these days?
Well, now that I'm with you, it's treating me great. And the fact that you remembered the Caracas Cannonball in Cannonero, that's a really good memory. That was one of the best. That still remains one of the best stories of a winner of the Kentucky Derby. I mean, he basically arrived on a freight plane, propeller plane, where, you know, where they would haul chickens and the rest of it. And that's how he got to Miami. Then he, you know, comes all the way up to Churchill, and he looks like a mess in the mornings. Everyone's like, who is this horse? And how's he in the Kentucky Derby? And then he shocked the world and won, and then he almost... he had a great impact on the Triple Crown. He almost could have been a Triple Crown winner. He was so good. And that was one of the last times that you had a field over 20, because they've obviously limited the field to 20 now, and they have the point system. But that's a great memory, the Caracas Cannonball. Well done.
That's awesome. You know, ironically, in 1999, I started doing this show here five times a week, full time. And now, back then, it was called the Television Games Network. You know, then, of course, the ability to bet online, the coverage, a studio show. I'm just thinking, you've been there since the get-go. How much pride do you take in being part of it from, dare I say, since the gate opened?
Well, see, that's the thing. You take a look at any industry, and the opportunity to be on the ground level something is very, very rare. And then if you do get that opportunity, it's very rare that you're still around talking about it 24 years later. I can tell you that I didn't think TVG at the time, just because of the way it was received by the industry, which is they hated it. The racing media couldn't stand it. And look, I look back and say, yeah, we made some mistakes. We had very little distribution. We didn't have wagering in hardly any states. I mean, it was a recipe for a terrible business plan and an ultimate disaster. There were times where I didn't think it'd make 2 months, 2 years, and then now we're here 24 years. A seminal point for the company was, we're based in California, and one of the biggest states we needed to sustain was California. And so they had passed advanced deposit wagering. We take for granted now that you can wager from home, you can wager from your phone, you can wager from anywhere. Now we have sports betting, and it's a totally different landscape. But in 1999, we were trying to get legislation through the California legislature that would allow advanced deposit wagering in the state we were operating. And with that size of market, that would be enough to sustain TVG for a few years while the market started to open up. So about 2 years in, we got it passed. And we were all excited. And all of a sudden, the news came out that the governor at the time, Gray Davis, had vetoed it at the 11th hour. And so we had a meeting that was called by our CEO at the time, Mark Wilson. I'll never forget it. He called, we had 300 employees at the time, and we all gathered in the newsroom, and he just flat out said, the news is bad. And he goes, I'm not going to be able to describe it any other way, but the governor vetoing this legislation has set us back significantly. So today, half of you are going to be let go. And those of you who stay on are going to take a 20% pay cut.
Jeez.
There were two conference rooms, and your name was called, and then they'd tell you which conference room you went into. And so you'd walk in this conference room, and you'd hope you were seeing somebody that you knew they really needed and wanted to move on. So I was one of the fortunate people to move on, take the 20% pay cut. And then they had the recall of Governor Gray Davis.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger came in. And then we had advanced deposit wagering. We got our lifeline. And then it just built from there. And then now, just all fast forward and skip a lot of the stuff in between. But now, TVG is part of Flutter Entertainment, which is a global entertainment company, wagering company that has holdings all across the world. And one of the things that they wanted to get involved in was sports betting in the United States. We were eventually purchased by Betfair, which was the largest online bettor in the world, betting company. They launched about the same time as TVG, but they took sports and they were based out of Hammersmith, England. They ended up partnering with Paddy Power, who was their main rival. So you had this company, Betfair Paddy Power, and they're holding TVG here in the United States. But they're holding TVG with the thought that one day there's going to be sports betting, but horse racing was carrying the day. So the landmark legislation, the decision by the Supreme Court that would allow the states to decide sports betting comes along. So now they realize they need someone in the sports betting market, and there were two fantasy companies, FanDuel and DraftKings, and they made the decision, Paddy Power and Betfair, to go after FanDuel. They acquired FanDuel, so they had FanDuel as right away into the sports market, and they had TVG, horse racing, but a television outlet that had been around a long time, and they really had the recipe for something that has now turned in to be the most dominant name in all of sports betting right now. You cannot turn on the NBA playoffs without seeing the FanDuel presence there. It's there everywhere. The Super Bowl, huge. And so now when you watch what was TVG and now FanDuel TV, it's really giving horse racing an opportunity to grow in a market that, instead of letting sports betting overwhelm horse racing, we are now in an ecosystem within this one company where we can show how horse racing can benefit from sports bettors. If we just take 5% of the market of sports bettors and turn them into bettors that are interested in horse racing, and the Derby is a great example of that, it can be the shot in the arm that the industry needs. And I'm sorry, I'm taking this one question and run with it, but I'm here in Kentucky, and they just passed sports betting. It's still about 90 days after the regulations before they actually start offering it. But every state that borders the Commonwealth pretty much has sports betting. So one of them is Ohio. Ohio launched sports betting in January of this year. In the first 3 months of wagering on sports in Ohio, Ohioans bet $2.5 billion. That's one state. Now, the first quarter of 2023 in horse racing, the entire United States on horse racing bet $2.7 billion. So Ohio by itself almost bet more money than on sports than the entire country bet on horse racing. That's how big the market is right now for sports betting, and that's what horse racing has to get its head wrapped around, and that's where FanDuel presents an amazing opportunity because we're in that ecosystem.
You know, ironically, I have to say this. It's funny to think that when it comes to TVG, Arnold was the anti-Terminator. He rescued you guys.
and to his credit, and he's been. It's interesting because now he's got. If you follow him on social media, he's fantastic, and more people in California like him away from the governor's mansion.
Right,
he saved us, and then he came out to the track. He was there for Zenyatta's win at the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita, and then he was there for her retirement party at Hollywood. And he loved horse racing. He realized the agricultural impact, and he would literally go to the senators and Congress people in California who had an interest in horse racing and say, I want to do something big before I leave office. What is something we can do? What is some legislation we can pass for horse racing? He was a very, very good friend of horse racing. And I will say, I owe part of my career to the Terminator.
That's awesome. And by the way, folks, if you ever want to Google Zenyatta 2010 Breeders' Cup, maybe the greatest comeback we've ever seen. But Todd, that's something we could break down for eternity. I want to talk about the fact that, oh my God, it's been 50 years when the nation would go head over heels for a three-year-old at a meadow stable named Secretariat. I mean, it was one of those cases. I remember people who wouldn't know place from show were captivated. So be it any special coverage or your memories, what comes to your mind, Todd, when you think of Big Red?
Is we had a nation in peril. It's 1973. We're in the final stages of the Vietnam War. We've gone through a long period of the Vietnam War. We're a divided nation. You've got the Watergate scandal with Nixon. It looks like the world is falling apart. And that's what I've always loved about sports. And what I've loved in my particular world, horse racing, is when you go to the racetrack, the rest of the world doesn't exist. And you get away from it all. It's if you're a golfer, and you have some beautiful golf courses, obviously, up in your area in Oregon, you go out for that 4.5 hours, you forget your problems, and it doesn't seem like anything other than that golf course exists. Sports is like that and everything. You can get lost in a game. You can get lost in an athlete. Secretariat came along at a time when this country needed him. The people needed a distraction. They needed to get away from what was a really harsh reality at the time. And not only did he come along and win the Triple Crown, it was the way he did it. He had movie star good looks, just a gleaming chestnut. He was shining like a new penny. He had those white socks as well. And then he could run like no one had ever seen before. And so Secretariat, the timing was perfect. And you also have to remember, just in the world of horse racing, we hadn't seen a Triple Crown winner in 25 years.
Right.
You had to go back to about 1948. So there was this long drought of Triple Crown winners. And then he started what many refer to as the golden era of racing, because then all of a sudden you had Seattle Slough running through the Triple Crown in 77. You had a firm doing it in 78. And then we just thought there was going to be a Triple Crown winner almost every year. And then Spectacular Bid, who was probably one of the best horses. He would have been an interesting horse up against Secretary. We never got to see that. But he was one of the best horses of any era. He didn't make it and sweep the Triple Crown. And then we ended up in this long drought until American Pharoah came along. But, yeah, the 50th anniversary of Secretary brings out a lot of emotions. Everything is of its time. And I hope people don't forget, it wasn't just the performances and whether or not you could relate to horse racing. The nation needed a distraction. They needed something positive and fun to follow, and he was that.
I love whenever they do those sports centuries that Secretariat ends up one of the greatest athletes of his time. That always kind of, I always think that's awesome. We're talking with Todd Shrupp, FanDuel TV. As for this race, you know, you try to explain to a novice that, you know, normally you're trying to pick one of 10 of an allowance race at Aqueduct or something like this, but this race is so unique, Todd. How would I accurately explain how difficult it is to handicap when you have three-year-olds going around two turns for the first time, probably their first time at a mile and a quarter, and probably never part of a field this big? I mean, it's difficult enough to pick them. How much more do those factors make it?
Oh, yeah. And there's so many unknown quantities coming in. And you do have to have some luck. The best horse doesn't always win the Kentucky Derby. But in addition to the things that you brought up, first time at a mile and a quarter, they're three-year-olds, they're also coming from all over the country. So if you're handicapping your local racetrack, you brought up Aqueduct, a field of 10 allowance. Well, okay, one horse ran 3 weeks ago at Aqueduct, another one, or they shipped in from Philadelphia, they don't come far. But now we have horses coming from Santa Anita, in California. We have horses coming from Hot Springs, Arkansas. We have horses coming from Hallandale Beach, Florida. We have horses coming from New Orleans at the fairgrounds. So they're coming, and we have horses coming in from New York. So you've got all these places where these horses are shipping in for this race. Some of them will be trying the surface for the first time. All of them will be going a mile and a quarter for the first time. And it's become more of an international event. We have two Japanese horses in the field this year. So now you've got to figure out the form of the United Arab Emirates Derby winner, Derma Sotagaki, who went from Japan, went to Dubai, won that race impressively, and is now here running in the Kentucky Derby. There's so many great stories coming in, so many handicapping elements, that sometimes it leads to chaos. And last year it did. Rich Strike was a horse that was not even in when they, he was not in the body of the field when they originally drew it. He was on the also eligible list, and he did not get in until Dwayne Lucas, who had a horse in the body of the field, scratched out. So Rich Strike gets in on Friday night before the Kentucky Derby, and within 24 hours, he pulls off a shocking upset at 85-1 people didn't even – you spend this whole time, you spend all year from January until the first Saturday of May watching these horses run, get the qualifying points. No one's talking about a horse like Rich Strike. And then within 24 hours, you've got to assess him, and most people didn't even know how to handicap a horse like that. So, you know, last year was, you know, one of the all-time upsets. But, yeah, each year you come in, and it looks like it's got the potential for chaos. There are years where truly the best horse jumps up and wins, but I'm usually very, very skeptical of the favorite because of all the anomalies and all the factors that you talked about that go into the Kentucky Derby.
Speaking along those lines, let's get to the chalk as we speak. Forte, obviously Todd Pletcher, the trainer, is a two-time winner of the Derby. And, you know, you talk about once upon a time the chalk had a dry spell. Then I think starting with California Chrome through Justify. And this horse just, we'll call it a surging win in the Florida Derby. Arad Ortiz is an elite jockey. How tough is the Derby favorite here, Todd?
He's a legitimate favorite. There's no question he's going to be the favorite. He's had the best spring of anybody. But I live in Los Angeles. Last year, the Dodgers had the best regular season of anybody, and they were gone. I know Boston sports fans don't want to hear this, but no one had ever seen a regular season like the Boston Bruins just had, and they were gone in the first round. So I look at sports in general, and it's all about peaking at the right time. No matter what your sport is, Forte has been brilliant this spring. But has he been too good? That's my concern. His connections are rock star connections. You mentioned Todd Pletcher, but his two co-owners, one is Mike Rapoli. And Mike Rapoli in the business world, imagine being a businessman that has not $1 billion idea, but he's got $2 billion ideas. He developed Vitamin Water, which ended up selling for a few billion dollars. And then he took that and came back into the sports drink market, and he ended up having Body Armor as another huge hit and sold that for over $1 billion. So Mike Rapoli knows what it's like to succeed in business, but he loves horse racing. His horses, when they race in his silks, are in the colors of his beloved New York Mets. And he has done everything in the sport. Won the Breeders' Cup Classic, won all kinds of races, but he has not won a Kentucky Derby. His partner is Vincent Vinny Viola. He was part of a partnership that won the Kentucky Derby in 2017 with Always Dreaming. But Vinny Viola, speaking of the Boston Bruins, he happens to be the owner of the Florida Panthers.
Wow.
So he knows what it's like. Yeah, he owns the Florida Panthers. He knows what it's like to take down a number one seed with a team that no one expects to beat a number one seed. So I have a feeling that a lot of times these things even out. So maybe Vinny's going to be on the other side if Forte gets beat in the Kentucky Derby. But Forte overall has been the best horse this spring, but his races have been down in Florida. And I don't know how much is left on that ceiling. And the best horse I ever saw come through the Florida three-year-old series leading the Kentucky Derby was the Florida Derby winner of 1996, Unbridled Song. He won by nearly six lengths in the Florida Derby, and one of the horses he left in his wake was a horse called Skipaway, who would probably go on in his older years, 4 and 5, to be one of the best horses in modern racing of that period. And Unbridled Song not only won the Florida Derby, but because of the timing, they sent him to the Wood Memorial. He won that. He came rolling in the Kentucky Derby as a favorite, very similar to Forte, and he finished fifth. And my whole point with a favorite like Forte is he great? Yes, he's great. But did he peak too soon? I think you could make the case that he has, and I would not be surprised, one, if he got beat, and two, if he maybe even finished off the board on Saturday.
You know, the another Pletcher entry, Tappet Price, who just caught another horse, Verifying at the Wire in the Bluegrass. Luis Saez has had a lot of success, but of course notorious for getting disqualified with Maximum Security 4 years ago. Just won the Tampa Derby. What's your read on this colt?
He's had as good of a spring, not, you know, style-wise as Forte, but when you look at the quality wins, I would match up his wins because he takes the Tampa Bay Derby, as you mentioned. One of the horses that finished behind him came back and upset the Wood Memorial at 50-1. So that kind of helps the form of the Tampa Bay Derby. Then he comes into the Bluegrass, so he travels. He comes in and wins the Bluegrass at Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, Kentucky, and he holds off, as you said, a very good horse for Brad Cox and Verifying. So I like the year that Tapatrice has had. He's always looked the part. He is not, you know, sometimes you see a horse who makes an explosive move, like an eighth of a mile burst, where they start circling the field and they start coming after the leader. He kind of grinds it out. He takes a little while to get going. So, you know, some of the handicappers believe at Churchill Downs, and as you pointed out with the size of the field, you have to stop and start a lot with your trip. If he gets stopped, can he get going again in time? But if Tapatrice gets any type of daylight at the top of the stretch, he's going to be coming, and he's going to be relentless. There's kind of an interesting angle statistically in the Kentucky Derby. We talk a lot about these horses and their breeding and how much they were purchased for. Tapatrice was purchased for $1.3 million. And just like, you know, the Yankees payroll doesn't equal championships every year, or teams that have the luxury tax in any sport go on to win a championship, buying a horse for a big price has not equaled success in the Kentucky Derby. In fact, a lot of horses who were purchased for $1 million or more, there's only one that has won the Kentucky Derby, and that horse was an astronomical price. Fusaichi Pegasus,
right,
won the Kentucky Derby in 2000, and he was a $4 million purchase. But since that time, horses like Tapatrice purchased for $1.3 million, horses over that seven-figure mark, they have absolutely tanked in the Kentucky Derby. If there's anything to that, I don't know, maybe it's just a statistical anomaly. But as far as what we've seen on the racetrack, he's been worth the purchase price.
Well, Todd, you convinced me not to spend $1 million to try and win the Kentucky Derby.
We made a lot of millionaires in horse racing, but unfortunately, they started out as billionaires.
Right. You know, obviously, there are so many horses to discuss. I only have a three-hour show. Who might be a horse or two that you're looking at that maybe the rest of the country isn't talking about and isn't well up there on the chalkboard?
Here's my general feeling about this year's Kentucky Derby. I'm coming in with this angle, and my angle is this. The winner of the Kentucky Derby will have not won their previous race. They will not come in having won the prep race. So you have Tapatrice, who beats Verifying by Neck in the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes. Tapatrice is 5-1 in the morning line, but the horse he just beat by a neck is 15-1. That's the type of value you can get by using horses that have lost in their prep races versus the ones who have won. So I look at three horses that are very, very interesting that I think have another move forward and could turn the tables on some of the horses they lost to. Let's start in Florida. So Forte won the Florida Derby, but if you go back and watch the race, coming out of the final turn, it looked like Mage was going to win and Forte was not going to get there. And then Forte, as you mentioned, had that burst in the end. But Mage made that move that used to win in the Kentucky Derby all the time, that wide sweeping move on the far turn. He's only had three starts. He's clearly got more to offer, a big ceiling. Mage is absolutely a horse. There's people thinking he doesn't have enough experience. Forte's already beat him. He cannot win the Kentucky Derby. I disagree. In California, Practical Move was the winner of the Santa Anita Derby, but he had a hard-fought victory, and a horse that has had two-thirds in two of the major prep races out there, the San Felipe and the Santa Anita Derby, Skinner, has earned enough points to get in, and then he had a defection from the race that allowed him to get in kind of on the periphery with the points. But he keeps making similar moves where it looks like he's going to break through and get a win, and then just things don't happen for him. I think in the Kentucky Derby, things can happen for him, and his trainer, John Sheriff, pulled off one of the biggest upsets in Kentucky Derby history with Giacomo, and he kind of gives me those vibes. So sign me up for Beige, sign me up for Skinner, and maybe a nod to Verifying, who was second to Tapatrice in the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes. But yeah, if you're going to summarize my philosophy this year, I'm looking for the horses who are on the improve and didn't win in their most recent start.
All righty. And the last thing is, what can we expect? The A-plus coverage, you know, we've got the Phillies and the Kentucky Oaks on Friday, obviously the Derby on Saturday. For folks who are looking forward to the FanDuel coverage, what could you tell us is lying out there on the horizon?
Can I be honest with you? I'm tired. Like, we've done so much coverage. It's Wednesday. All I can tell you, it's Derby week. But at the beginning of the show today, I didn't know what day it was. I'm like, it's Derby week, but I don't know what day this is. And that's great. We have had a very ambitious broadcast schedule. I would want nothing more. I love the fact that I get to go to the Kentucky Derby and be involved at every level of it. So we have been broadcasting on FanDuel Racing, which you used to know as TVG2. And then we have been, you can download the FanDuel TV Plus app. And if you download the FanDuel TV Plus app, what you'll see is you'll watch us on FanDuel Racing, and then we will stay with continuous coverage on the FanDuel TV Plus app, so you don't miss anything. So we're going constantly. So I may be throwing a break on FanDuel Horse Racing, but then I'm coming right back on the FanDuel TV Plus app. So I would advise everyone out there who has any interest in the Kentucky Derby, download the FanDuel TV Plus app, not only do you get the live coverage that we're going to have, then we have archived interviews we've done throughout the week with the connections. You've got all the prep races that you and I just talked about. You can go watch the Florida Derby. You can watch the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes. And then we've got our original content. There's a young woman who we have as part of our coverage who's kind of new over the last couple of years. I met her in Kentucky, and I just thought she was going to be perfect for what we do. She's a native of Kentucky. Her name is Maria Montgomery. She's so nice. She's so great on camera. And so she put together 10 Kentucky Derby action updates where she looks at historical trends, betting the Kentucky Derby, and then looks at individual contenders like Forte and some of the horses that we just talked about. And during our live coverage, she goes out and gives people behind-the-scenes look and talks to those who are coming out to the races and gives you an idea of what it's like to be at the Kentucky Derby. So it's been one of our most ambitious times, and it's only going to grow because Churchill realizes how important a company like FanDuel is with horse racing and sports betting. And you're going to see what we do here this year. It seems weird to be laying a foundation 24 years in, but they're renovating Churchill Downs, and it's a totally different racetrack than it was 24 years ago when I started going to it. They've done a remarkable job, over $250 million in improvements, but it'll be even better next year. But I love what we're doing now. I hope people will download FanDuel TV Plus, and I think they'll like what we're doing.
Folks, he's Todd Shrupp, keeping us wired into horse racing for going on a quarter century. Premier voice, analyst, host, FanDuel TV. Always fun, always entertaining. On Twitter, you could use at FanDuel TV for our guest. It's at Todd TVG. Todd, I know it's a crazy week. I really appreciate you finding some time. Be well. And, of course, I hope we can catch up again down the road.
Oh, I look forward to it. And, Steve, thank you for giving us a platform to talk about a sport that I know I love and I've made my career out of. And it's great to know that you love horse racing as much as I do. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.